Sometimes I turn on the recorder too late. We should have had that. praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are always blessed when we get together in the presence of the Lord. It's always such a thrill to me to hear the Lord confirm the word as we're worshiping. The things that come out just confirm what he's wanting to speak to us about. And that is always it's a blessing to me. I wouldn't say that I would be discouraged, but it is an encouragement when you hear the Lord confirm his word beforehand. It's like a fulfillment of prophecy. And you know, the Lord is in the business of fulfilling prophecy, and he's in the business of giving out words, just as he said to Bernie that, you know, I don't give you the dreams so you can do them, I give them to you so I can do them. That we don't, as Sue said, we don't get so caught up in thinking about the solution or how it's going to get done, but we just trust the Lord. Okay, I'm here, I'll do. With Abraham, Abraham was told by God, get out from where you are, I'll take you to a place that I'll show you. And, well, it doesn't say that he's thought about this a long time and didn't know whether he would go or not. It says that he went ahead and did that. Now, we know that Abraham did some things that we could look at and then say, as Rosie said, we'd have taken a wire brush to him going and sleeping with that concubine. And I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily take the translations of the Bible as being a direct thing. I mean, I believe that they're the Word of God, but I believe that God can enlighten it. Like when it says it was of the Lord that he had these troubles, I think maybe he got in trouble and the Lord was able to get him out of them, but I'm not going to split hairs over that. But the simple fact is I don't really think that the Lord put it in Abraham's heart to sleep with a concubine. But I think that Abraham got what he got because he did that. Now, we could look at that and say, well, you know, just gave him confidence for the next round, whatever the case might be. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that what God said, God brings to pass, and he brought it to pass even when Abraham took a detour. And we may take detours. The thing that I thought about was how patient God is. How many of you are glad that God is patient? Amen? You know? And there's nothing wrong with us being patient as well. There's nothing wrong with us realizing that God is working in people's lives. Some of the work that he needs to do in people's lives comes simply in response to our prayers. And so maybe if when we're reaching for the wire brush, as Rosie said, we would realize, wait a minute, I'll pick up the prayer instead. When we're looking for the acid wash, we just go ahead and pick up the prayer instead. It's up to God. But our lives can do so much more to influence other people's lives as we act like Christ. The fact of the matter is that most people who are going to hell, unless their heart is tremendously hardened, they know it. And that's why they don't like to hear it, and that's why you aggravate them sometimes. Because you have what they wish they had, but they don't really want it because they think it will cost them, who knows. You know all of the things, because you've all gone through them somewhere along the line. Even after getting saved, we come to these little places where we back away rather than going forward. And so, you know, but hey, God's able. He's really able. But what we need to become is people who press. Not press others, but press through, press in. The Lord asked us this morning, are you ready? Now, first he said to me, are you ready to go to that next place? And, you know, I said yes. He said, okay, now ask them. Okay. Now, that was from God asking you if you were ready to go to the next place. Now, notice he also, later then, just shortly after that, he said, now, but we've got to be willing to go to that next place without being worried what that place might be. Oftentimes, when I get to the next place, I found out that the other place I was in, I didn't have it all just right. But, praise God for what Levon saw, I don't have to pick up what I missed. And sometimes He takes us to the next place because we're busy picking up other things instead of getting where He wants us to get. And so it all just, you know, it all just kind of flows together. The bottom line is, you are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus under good works that He has planned for you. Whether you're doing them perfectly, whether you're spit polished and shining like crazy, it doesn't change what you are in God's eyes. And so, coming into confidence with that, then we become more ready to move with God, trusting God to take care of everything. To realize, yeah, I got some places that God is still polishing. But the key is that the Master is working on them. He's doing His work. Is He able to do His work? So then, am I free to just continue? I am set free. I have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where I am. And there's nothing that anyone can do about it. The Bible says that nobody will be able to pluck me out of God's hand. And so we need to be encouraged, and we need to be empowered, and we need to be filled with joy, and we need to be walking, pressing toward the mark for the prize, toward that high call of God. Being as Jesus was, who when He said, so, yeah, I'm a little distressed. Well, He said, I'm greatly distressed. He said, I'm distressed, but what? Should I back away from what God wants me to do? Should I give up the whole plan because I'm a little distressed? And He chose not to give up the whole plan. So now we look at, as I was reading the account of Lazarus's death, and I'm reading about Martha, I'm reading about Mary, and their things with Jesus. And then actually what I was doing, I was reading in a Bible through a year, and it has these little devotions at the end of them. And it talked about how Jesus took what Martha said, and He was trying to help her transfer that into something greater, into a deeper understanding. Now, as we read it, we know that Jesus has heard about Lazarus. Jesus didn't, it's in John chapter 11, Jesus didn't go right away. He waited a while, then He said, let's go. The disciple says, people want to kill us there. Jesus says, hey, when you walk in the light, you know, nothing happens. It's when you're walking in the darkness. Jesus was walking in the light. He knew where He's going. He knew what He was doing. So then they all said, okay, now look at the plan that Didymus, that Thomas had. He said, well, let's all go die with him. That wasn't necessarily a great plan that he had, was it? It sounded real noble. It sounded real wonderful. I'll die with him. He was planning to die. Jesus wasn't planning on that day to die. But Thomas was already planning that. Now, it sounds fine and dandy to do that, but Thomas had slipped into a little bit of a religious part there. So, okay, he's going. You know, he was saying, wherever we go, but he was making bad plans. He was deciding without knowing. And so he made a statement that he shouldn't have made. Now, that's not in the Bible. Doesn't say that. But just simply, why would he say, you know, isn't that sort of the same thing as them saying, Master, what are you sleeping for? We're going to perish. And Jesus said to them in the boat, He said, why do you have so little faith? I said, we're going to the other side. Peace, be still. And then He went on. So anyway, so now Jesus did finally tell him, look, Lazarus is dead. Well, now wait a minute, that changes everything, Jesus. If he's already dead, why should we bother to go? Well, Jesus is just going to take him anywhere. So Martha, verse 20, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting at the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had seen Jesus heal enough people. She had confidence that if he'd have just shown up, he wouldn't have died. Now, I don't think that she was saying that as a, oh, you're wonderful, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. It was a, why are you so late? We sent someone plenty soon enough. If you just would have got here, my brother would be alive. Implying, you know, you don't really love us as much as you say you love us. If you did, you know, you'd have got on a Learjet and gotten here quicker. If you'd been here, you would not have died. But even now she's recovering. Now she's making it sound good. But even now, whatever you ask God, God will give you. I know whatever you ask God, God will give you. Okay? Now, to this, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. He's trying to bring her along. And so she, because she's all wise, because she's been around Jesus long enough, she comes up with a good one and says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She got there. She had moved out of a little bit of religion into a little bit more of a relationship. You know, she knew what she believed. She believed that he would rise at the last day. But that really wasn't doing her any good, was it? Because she wanted him alive. And Jesus said, okay, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. I see this as Jesus trying to bring her in. Bring her into a next place. So he gives her a little more for her to think about. Now she's had this said before. She's got a little bit of an understanding of it. So he makes it real clear. Look, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's sort of like sometimes, you know, you're sitting in church and someone says, asks you a question and you have to think about, is this a trick question? What's the best answer? You know? Believe me. When I sit where you guys sit and somebody asks a question, you know, boy, the pressure's really on when you're a preacher because you're supposed to know the answers. I've learned to just wait. I know they'll tell me what they're thinking. Then I have the opportunity to decide whether I'm thinking the same thing that they're thinking. Okay? Because see, I'm telling you all this and you might not be thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, but stick with me because it might help us into this next place. See, I think Jesus was trying to bring her to the next place and Martha just said, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, and you've come into the world. And when she said these things, she went away. That was as far as she was ready to go. She wanted Jesus to say, Martha, don't worry. I'll just speak the word, and he will live. Let's go get that boy out of the tomb. That's what she wanted Jesus to do. She wanted Jesus to make the move. And Jesus wanted her to say, Jesus, how about you raise my brother from the dead? But she wasn't quite ready to say that. You know, it's like praying, hoping God will do something, but doubting that he will. Knowing that he could, but doubting that he would. You know? If the person with the tiniest bit of faith, faith being the substance of things hoped for, faith being someone who actually knows the Lord. In fact, there are people who do not know the Lord, but believe that God exists, that will say God can do anything. They don't believe he'll do anything for them. They don't expect him to do anything for them. They hope that perhaps they will go to heaven. You know? But, so, the tiniest bit of an understanding of God says God can do anything. But knowing him says, he loves me. Knowing him says, Jesus loved Martha and Jesus loved Mary and Jesus just wanted one of them to say, Lord, don't bother me a bit that he's dead. All you got to do is say the word. Let's go raise him up. Well, okay. Not that it doesn't bother me a bit, but I know you. And I know you know me. And I know how much you love me. And I know that there's something special to bring glory to you in this. Just let's go raise him up. But neither one of them would. When he gets to Mary, Mary says to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Again, same old thing. If you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died. Obviously, he was sick unto death, but they knew he could stop the sickness. Jesus wanted them to know that he could raise the dead. And he has as much as told about that. He says, "Look, I'm the resurrection. I am the life. I am everything that you need." See, just like the Lord was speaking to us this morning about putting ourselves to the trusting. If we would work ourselves as hard at trusting as sometimes we work at believing, why would we have to work at believing? He either is or he isn't. Once we've gone beyond the fact that we don't doubt who he is and what he can do, now let's put our work at the trusting. Why should it be work to trust? Isn't he trustworthy? So maybe we need to put our work at beating down the doubting. I don't know. I just finished reading a wonderful book. It says Rosie Jones in the front of it. Not because she wrote it, because she owned it. But it's one of those books that... I lost his name now. Yeah, McDonald wrote. And anyway, you know, it's a great book. And it's a book about... Highlanders in Scotland, I believe. And anyway, there's a chief. They had chiefs of the clans, and so throughout this whole book, it's just a wonderful testimony of faith in God, of just seeing that nothing's impossible for God. That even when you don't see God doing it, everything's going to be dandy. And yet the book ends with you feeling like it's a victory, even though it looks like it's a defeat, because it isn't going the way he wanted it to, and yet it went the greatest way he could possibly imagine, because in going the way that it did, he was leaving behind things that were keeping him from being close to God. Now, I can't give you the whole book report, but basically what it amounted to was in the chief and in the clan finally giving up the thing they... hated the most to give up, the land, but the only way to keep the people was to sell the land, take the money, and move the whole clan. And so now they're off to Canada, and they're going to relocate the whole clan there. And the book ends. And you don't have a feeling of it being a defeat, but you don't necessarily have a feeling of it being as marvelous as it could have been, and whatever. But the next page, the epilogue, is only just a little bit, and it's a hoot, man. I told Vicki, I said, you know, the guy, I'm really glad he did that, but he could have written another book. The rest of the story would have been a great book, seeing how it happened. But ultimately what it ended up is the whole clan shows up in Canada, they end up on great land. Isn't that just like God? The land that they left wouldn't produce nothing. Hardly. They worked like crazy. They were starving to death. It was rocks and this and that. The people got there and they were amazed at how the land produced. And then, oh yes, and there was this little corner of the land that they found oil on. And as soon as they were able to ship the oil, they ended up with so much money that, oh yes, they went back and bought back all the land, not just the little piece that was left over, but all the land for the clan, with the plan that maybe someday another generation might go back, but until then, they owned it. Woo! Is that God or what? Is that God or what? You know why it happened? Because he just flat trusted God. And even though things were not going the way that he wanted them to, he always waited on the Lord. He just waited and he trusted the Lord. And boom. Funny thing, the Lord had a plan. And he went beyond their dreams. He went beyond. You see, Bernie said, you know, the Lord has given him dreams. The thing is that he can only give us a glimpse of the dreams. He couldn't possibly give us the whole dream. We'd never believe him. But he gives us a glimpse that we have to work at believing. But then once when he comes and he starts speaking to us and he starts talking to us about the trusting and about the knowing and about the believing and about saying, bless me, oh, bless me, oh. How many of you were comfortable to begin with saying, bless me, oh, bless me, oh, bless me, Lord? I knew that. So did the Lord know that. That's why we just kept doing it. How many of you ever got comfortable with it? By the time we were done, were you comfortable saying, bless me, oh, bless me, oh, bless me, Lord? Or were you still going, when's it going to quit this? Well, get over it, okay? You need to learn to receive those things and do the things that the Lord says, not the things that I say. Folks, I don't just do this for practice. As Mike said, I obviously have no philosophy of worship. I have none. I follow the Lord. I'm listening all the time that I'm singing. I switch to songs that He wants when I don't even understand them. Believe me, when He said, sing that, bless me, oh, bless me, oh, bless me, oh, bless me, I'm going, well, this will be a bump in the road for some people. I don't care. It's worth it to get through to that place, isn't it? If you didn't get through to that place, I want you to spend the whole afternoon going, bless me, oh, bless me, oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, oh, bless me. Because that's what He wants. How does He get glory? Do you think something you can work up and something wonderful you can do is going to get Him blessed? No, it's like Bernie said. What blesses Him is when you're together with Him. That's how we can bless the Lord, for goodness sakes. What could He ask us for that we could give Him but our trust and our love? And our confidence in Him. That He might magnify and glorify Himself. That He, Almighty God, working through flesh, might reveal Himself to the world. Because let's face it, the world isn't seeing it in the tree. They've decided to worship the tree. So the world needs to see it in you and me. That's where it's got to be. To see God, they don't need to see, you know, I mean, it's like that sometimes, you know, that this truth, okay? The things to know. Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God. This is a thing to know. It's a gate. It's a gate into the treasure house of God. And if we never go inside that treasure house of God, then yes, just maybe we'll be saved. But who will that help? Who will that bless? Who will that reveal God to? To whom much is given, much is expected. It's been given to you, it's been given to me to understand, to come to the next place, and come to the next place, and come to the next place, because there's people in every one of those next places that need to behold the glory of God. I became an Orlando Magic fan last night. I mean to tell you, I cheered against them right up until they got the trophy. And Dwight Howard stood there and said, hallelujah. First of all, I've got to thank God. Because it's all because of God. Because He did it all. You know, I've been watching him all the time thinking, that guy must be a Christian. I mean, no matter what happened, he'd just smile. And then he'd come down and make a great play. And he'd just smile. And he wasn't going, you know. Cheer for me. Point. I thought, this guy must be a Christian. I'm telling you, I'm for Orlando. And y'all should be too. Hallelujah. I mean, that just makes the team for me. You find me somebody that will praise the Lord, I'll be a diehard fan. I liked Cleveland, but I have not yet heard my man LeBron James say it all. The glory goes to God. So he's history, man. Dwight Howard is my MVP. Because he gave the glory to God. He recognizes where his gifts come from. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in a place that we can get to manifest that treasure. And instead, oftentimes, we will find people who feel like they are really glorifying God by saying, you know, hey, I believe even though God isn't doing anything for me. Now, I know it's not good grammar to say God never does nothing for you, but that's true. God never does nothing for you. God is always doing something for you because the Bible says that God is for you. And I refuse to believe that God does anything against me. If you think God does things against you, I'll pray for you. But I refuse to believe that He does that. Because if God did something against you, you wouldn't survive. I read the Bible. Do you know what happens to God's enemies? Do you know what happened to the people that tried to stand against Israel? He said, kill them all! That doesn't mean we should say the same thing. We have been given a new and greater covenant. We can say, save them all! Because we've been given to understand that when we bless those that curse us, we get blessed. We're going to get comfortable with saying, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. You want to be blessed, don't you? You really want to, don't you? But you think it'll be wrong to ask Him to do it? No. And when you ask Him to do it, believe that He will. Not hope that He would, but expect that He won't. You know? God is glorified when He is magnified. And we can magnify the Lord much better from a throne of blessing because we mean it with all our heart. See, I'm not just joking with you. I can magnify the gifts of Dwight Howard now. I can say, oh God, bless Orlando. Because you know what he did? You know how many people watched that game? That's the first time the Lord has landed on basketball. I've not seen anybody give that testimony in basketball yet. I've seen it in football. But now the Lord, I mean, I know there's a lot of Christians in professional basketball. I know there are. But now the Lord has landed on it. And Vicky made note of the fact that when he said that, the crowd jeered. I think those people want to win a championship. You didn't hear anybody going, boo, boo, boo. Yeah, hey, Dwight says it. All right, hallelujah. There's going to be a revival. You know? Maybe that's part of the outpouring from Lakeland. I don't know. Won't that be something to find out? He went up and got saved there. I don't know. Okay? But I do know this. I know that God is true. And I know that we can trust Him. And I believe with all my heart that he was trying to teach Martha something, he's trying to teach us something. Yes, Jesus was proud of her, believing that he was the Son of God, that he came from God. He was so glad that she'd come to that. He was so glad that she understood that yes, they would be raised in the resurrection. But he wanted her to come to the next place and realize that all she really had to do was ask him. Because once he got to the tomb, Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I only could have got some of these other people to agree. No, he didn't say that. And I know that you always hear me. Well, maybe he did say that. But because the people who are standing by, I said this. Because the people who are standing by haven't got this clue yet, Lord. I've said this so they would hear this, so that they would spend a little time thinking about this, so that the next time something comes up, they might try a different route. Now, I know it doesn't say that. But could Jesus, do you ever say things and you mean a lot more than you actually say? Yeah, usually those are the things that get you in trouble because the other person says, I know what you're thinking. Right? But no. Jesus just said, okay, I know you always hear me. I thank you you've heard me. I know you've always heard me. But because of the people that are standing here, I said this so they might believe that you sent me. And that they might believe that you sent me for just this sort of thing. Lazarus, come forth. Now, I don't think he said it in that voice. I think he said, Lazarus, get out of here. Come on down. The price is right, free, life, eternal. Come on out, Lazarus. And isn't it interesting to know that even after Lazarus was raised from the dead, a lot of religious people still stood back and said, we got to do something about this. The whole world's going to follow him. Why not follow him too? Wait a minute, we've got another idea. We'll kill Lazarus too. A whole bunch of people are believing in him just because that guy's alive. If we kill him, they're going to forget that he was raised from the dead. How stupid can you be and still breathe? And yet at the same time, think about this. We read the Bible, we look at everything that the Lord did, we listen to everything that the Lord said, and we still think that somehow we've got a special circumstance that he can't perform in. We've got some sort of a reason. We've got some way to justify our doubt. And I think that the Lord says it's time to get the doubt out. Go to the next place and don't worry about what's there. Go there because it's the best thing. Because God's there. If God's taking you somewhere, He isn't going to send you in and leave you alone. He'll be with you. Don't let anything keep you out. Don't let anything keep you back. Go there. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, well, I guess we'll just leave old Lazarus in the grave because I can't get anybody to get the part. But instead, he came up with a little message for them before he raised him so they would understand that all they had to do was ask. But since they didn't ask, I'll just point out to them that you always hear me. Later on, they'll catch on that just as you always hear me, I said the Father will be the same for them, that he'll always hear them, and they'll get this thing down pat. Well, I think that probably 2,000 years later, we ought to be getting closer to getting it down pat, shouldn't we? We may not get it perfect, but we're being perfected. And as the body of Christ, little places here and there and everywhere, as the body of Christ begins to just move into that place, and the glory of God begins to be manifest more and more and more and more and more. You know? Just think about it. To a total stranger, you could say, how about Orlando? Why do you like Orlando? Because there, Superman gives glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Giving God glory. Giving God glory, giving God praise until it's too easy to ride a bull. And planning on it being that way all the time. Amen? Coming together. Your faith is coming together. Your place in God is coming together. You're beginning to grow. You're beginning to have confidence. You're beginning to see God manifesting. You're beginning to expect Him to do it more, right? You're becoming comfortable with bless me, oh bless me, oh bless me, Lord. You're becoming comfortable with declaring, I am blessed beyond measure because God is for me. Beginning to expect and to see His blessing under every rock. You know, there was a time when people were finding demons under every rock. They were standing on places on the corners of the street, casting out the devils, you know, because there was something took place in that spot. You know, well, now we're looking for blessings under every rock. Because Jesus said that He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. So that's what we expect. So that He might be greatly glorified. That He might be, His glory might be manifest in all the earth. So that we can give Him praise, that we can imagine. You know, that clan chief in that book, he never imagined that there was going to be an oil well on the land that he bought. He never imagined, it doesn't say anywhere, that he planned on ever coming back there. He just planned on taking care of the people like he was called to take care of the people, and he was trusting God to take care of him. And God said, What do you think about this? Things that you have not imagined, God has in store for you if you will just love Him and trust Him. And the things that you have imagined are good, but they're small compared to what God's going to do with them. Ken really will catch the biggest fish. And unless we're there, we'll never know. But that's okay. No. But you see, there are greater fish in the sea. There are greater things going on. And they're going on to you, and they're going on through you. There's a next place.
Can I say that people in the 1800s probably did not appreciate oil? So as God is allowing oil to form, people didn't know why.
They didn't know why, but they knew to ship it, sell it, and buy the land. But there were things they weren't looking for. And there are things that you're not looking for that will be a treasure house to you as well as to others. And so the thing to know is that what we know is only the beginning of all that there is. Wherever you are today, it's only a beginning of what there is. Because if today you know that there's another place for you to go, then you're at a place of a beginning of what there is there. And then there's a beginning of another place there. The Lord is the Lord of new beginnings, of continuing the call. And so Jesus is the opening. He's the entrance to the mine of the treasures of the Lord. And He'll show us the way if we will believe. Amen? So Father, we thank You that we know what we do know. And more importantly, we know that what we do know is only a part of what You have prepared for those who love You. And we pray, God, that we would walk into those places. And Lord, that we would bring You great glory. And that others would follow us into those places to experience the goodness of God. For it is the goodness of God that saves souls. It is the love of God that saves souls and grants us the fear, the awe, the reverence, the understanding of who You really are that is the beginning of true wisdom. Lord God, pour that out on this world. In Jesus' name, amen.